I just drink wine.
Welcome to the wine situation.
Welcome to the wine situation.
Sean's whining already.
What if I did the whole show whining?
I would kill you.
We talk about wine.
I would get rid of you, find another co-host, and we would whine about you.
They kind of sound like Gilbert Gottfried.
No.
I like whining. Don't like driving traffic.
So we take people's wines with H's, and we pair them with wines because we know so much shit about wine.
Yeah, we take people's like wines,
and we turn them into delicious like sip, sip, sip.
We turn them into
cheers.
Fermented grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Because we're like Jesus.
Because we are like Jesus.
But with wine.
You guys, this is like church. Welcome to church.
Welcome to church.
If you're listening to this on a Sunday.
You are about to get.
Namaste.
Oh, no. You're about to get namaste'd.
I'm multi-denominational. I embrace all cultures, religions, and all that kind of stuff. I'm not afraid.
You're not. You shouldn't be.
No one should be afraid.
We discussed this on our last episode. You should not be afraid.
About not being afraid?
I think we did.
Yeah. Well, we feel like slightly qualified to talk about wine because, you know, if you're just plucking this podcast out of the ones we've done before.
Like I've said before, fuck you. And
Ellen is always aggro on the second show. She gets a little more aggro on the second show. That's right. This is episode 10, guys. But bam. Double digits. 1, 0, 10. Doing it.
Our guest is like doing a shoulder dance. Yeah. And we can't wait
because
to tell
I don't
you.
Know if I'm like supposed to talk yet. So I'm just.
Oh,
I'm,
I forgot to tell you. Yes, we're going to do a little. Because I called you out because you're like, she's doing. Yeah, so.
The intro's lame.
No,
this
intro's
no, it's
lame.
Great. I love hearing all about church.
Church.
And, namaste.
Namaste.
I was supporting you.
Excellent. Praise hands.
Yeah.
But I'll be quiet. Again
praise
now.
Hands.
We were about to, you should feel good. You're in good hands. We know a lot about wine. Sean helped open Bar Covell. He is the wine whisperer. He knows what people want to drink magically. And also he worked with Gregory Condas. So he has all the wine knowledge to guide you through this journey.
And Ellen has passed tests, the WSETs. She also is a lifelong goth. So she understands.
And as I said, the Dark Lord Trent Reznor taught me.
Yeah.
So when you black out, she knows how to direct you. Yeah.
There's like a lot of black magic voodoo wine knowledge that she has that I don't even know about.
Wow. I can't tell
it's, you know, like,
I just use it.
Because you're under her spell.
I'm under her spell.
Yep. If the world were under my spell.
Yeah. Her pentagram is real strong.
So our guest, I'm so excited that you could do this.
Thank you, Carla Mosley.
I know her as Carla Mosley, my friend Carla, and you might know her from The Bold and the Beautiful. You might know her from her upcoming web series, Wedlocked, that they are getting ready to shoot. She's beautiful. I've seen her on stage. She's a phenomenal actress.
We're buddies.
We're buddies.
Buddies.
We were met through a friend of a friend, but you are one of the most like giving, wonderful people. So
thank you.
I'm just like excited you could be here because I was like so shocked when I asked you and it was like, this is Los Angeles where people usually reschedule at least 3 times. And it worked out on the first like, hey, are you free next week? I am.
Yeah. Which is amazing. Well, my
if you guys want Carla Mosley, get her now.
My friend calls me the goddess of yes. And I have it's problematic. I'm like, yes. And then I'm like, what am I doing? And I didn't feel that way about this, except that I don't drink very often. So as I was saying before, I hope that I stay awake and stay coherent throughout our discussion.
We will not send you to Snoop Dogg. She's going to a Snoop Dogg concert after this. We won't send you to Snoop if you're not coherent. We'll call you an Uber.
The most important thing.
You gotta be really sober when you go
super
to a Snoop
sober.
Concert.
He's definitely doing breathalyzers at the door.
Dude, for sure.
Yo, is everyone sober in the house?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Look out for that.
Oh, Snoop. Thank you so much for doing this. Yeah. I just met you, and you already are living up to all these great things I've heard.
I don't know.
Don't lie.
Sean, I'm putting you up to opening wine duties while Carla tells us about her wine with an H.
Okay. So.
Whoa.
It's going to get heavy.
It's really personal, you guys. It's really serious.
If you're driving, pull over.
Sit down.
Just get
if
ready.
You're holding a baby, put it in its crib.
Exactly.
If you're drinking, pour another drink.
Yes. I hate dress codes of any kind. If I'm naked, I shouldn't have to put on a fucking sock. If I am wearing a dress, I should not have to put on sweatpants to go to the gym. If I'm wearing shorts, I should not have to put on a gown to go to a red carpet. Mm-hmm. So I think that I should
if
be
you're
able
wearing
to,
a skirt, you should be able to get on a bike.
That's thank you. Exactly. Yes. Without harassment.
Yes.
I just think that any kind of imposition on my general comfort, specifically around looks, is particularly irksome.
Yeah, and you are someone who's in public eye frequently, sometimes. So you probably have to deal with this even more than a lot of us.
I do, and again, it goes back to, that's so big, glass.
You know, we got time.
The goblets are deceiving.
They are, actually. I measured once, and it's like less than a normal glass of wine.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. They're chunky, so it looks...
It does feel like Games of Thrones-y.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Hence the goth.
Yes.
It smells delicious already, by the way. So, yeah, I get nervous, I think is what it is. Mm. And then once I'm dressed up, particularly for events, you know, like I'll often say, like, yes, of course I'll go support you at this or support you at that. You know, in fact, when you asked me what my wine was last weekend, I was going to support a dear friend at an event. And it was like in that moment that I was like, but that means I have to, that means I have to shower.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, what the hell? You know?
So is it more that like you're representing your career and all, and you have to get dressed up in this way? Like, is it more that, or is it more just like you just want to stay comfy all the time?
Just generally, I want to stay comfy.
Okay, yeah. So yeah.
And I definitely, but there are more, as someone who likes to stay comfortable, there are definitely more opportunities to be discouraged from looking the way that I want to look.
You're like, do I have to go to that premiere?
Exactly.
Like, really? Do I need to?
Exactly. And are these holy jeans okay? Like not the cool kind of holy jeans.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, especially for women, too. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, like, women, like, getting dressed up takes so long.
I mean, it's the variety, too. And then heels.
Yeah.
And the undergarments to go with things.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
And then purses.
Uh-huh.
Heels. Fucking heels kill.
Fucking heels. It's the worst.
Heels will kill you.
I know.
Yep. In fact, tonight, the person that I'm going with was like, dress code, comfortable, sexy. And I was like, that does not exist for women.
Oh, that doesn't exist. That leads us into so many of the questions we had. But yeah, comfortable, sexy, like, which I feel like that's like the LA dress code, right?
It is.
But for women, that is a very different thing than for men.
No, it's like on camera when if you're in my world of indie film where the person who doesn't know what they're like, well, no, I picture your character like no makeup, don't wear makeup. And I'm like, trust me, you want me to have some makeup on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I went in for something today and they were like, mom. And I was like, you don't actually want me to dress like mom's dress.
No.
I mean, I started a production company championing women and women of color for that reason because I do, you know, I do want to see mom. In mom attire and mom mode, you know? And that doesn't mean to say that, like, once you're a mom, you gotta be frumpy, you know?
Right.
But it's just, like, it's real. If you're up and you're, you know, you're driving everybody around, your boobs are sagging, whatever it is.
And you're multitasking, you're figuring it out.
Put on a few pounds, like, whatever, you know? And so I think that's really what it's about, is just being able to show up as myself.
Yeah.
And so feeling like I have to put on some kind of clothing to prove to someone who they want me to be,
right.
You know? Then it's like... So, yeah.
And just imagine you, like, laying around just naked in your house all the time.
Yeah,
a lot. It happens a lot.
You're like, I'm comfortable like that.
It's great for me.
Take it.
Well, cheers. Let's do a cheers.
Yeah.
And then,
we'll explain the choice.
And the choice.
Cheers.
Okay, here
we go. Oh, that is good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, it's really nice.
Wow.
So when I started thinking about your... First, I was thinking, we'll get you casual wine. You should be able to have the fanciest wine and the nicest thing, but be comfortable. I started thinking about some of the original loungers while drinking, the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they toga's probably so comfy.
Yes.
Toga
just
party.
Chill out in that toga. Lie on your side. They lounge. I think the Greeks did the lounging on their sides thing too, but they didn't allow women, so fuck that. Not that the Romans had everything going for them that I would support, but...
But just a general sense of lounging and like a bed sheet.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you've manufactured into like a garment.
Right, but in public.
Yeah, but in public.
In public. On your side, like just lie down, be lazy.
Yeah.
And drink your fancy wine. So we decided to get some of the...
I got the good stuff.
You got the good stuff. You really did. This is a 2010 Mastrogiannone Brunello di Montalcino. Mm. It's a DOCG wine, which... means it undergoes all sorts of. We'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into the classifications.
The
Yes, adagaga.
Okay.
It's doc G.
Right. I just wanted to make sure I was getting it correct.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. It's Italian for fancy, delicious.
Fancy, delicious wine. Yeah. So, we decide to, first I was like, oh, should we get you in like Roman mode? Should we get wines from that region? But Tuscany, which is where Brunello di Montalcino is from, is just north of the region that Rome's in. So,
I accept your offer. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. It really is.
It's really, this is nice.
Mm-hmm. So this is 100% Sangiovese from Tuscany. Tuscany is like the greater state, and Montalcino is a town in Tuscany.
It's near Chianti. Everyone's heard of Chianti.
Yeah.
Chianti is the same grape as this, although a different version of it, made slightly differently, aged slightly differently.
Yeah.
Yeah,
slightly
it has a really round it's
this is a very smooth.
It sort of like fills the sides of my mouth.
It's like leathery to you. You get like leather and chocolate on this black cherry and blackberry and I love this wine.
Velvety, full.
To me, it's my really favorite wine from Italy.
Yeah,
Brunello di Montalcino. Yeah, truth be told, I'm not a Barolo person as much as I'm a Brunello di Montalcino guy. Yeah,
I tend to be kind of a Aglianico or Barolo. I like kind of vicious wines though.
Well, you know, I hate to bring it up, but you are a goth.
It's true. I like vicious.
Vicious in what way?
Like they leave your mouth feeling a little beat up. Like they're really tannic. Yeah. Like I like pretty strong tannins. I like high acid, which this has decently high tannins, but they're rounded off and smooth and a little more. This is delicious. And
Okay. So I'm vegan. So it's like
I'm vegetarian.
Like the super green juice of wines is what you like. Like no apples.
No apples.
Yeah.
leafy greens.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just all collard.
Oddly enough, I don't.
Straight collard juice.
I mean, oddly enough, I'll take Swiss chard over kale. But,
right. See,
but
there you go.
Yeah. I don't know.
I see where you're coming from.
No, but I love this too. I mean, it just depends on your mood.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I have a favorite Italian wine, just if someone, you brought it up. So.
Yeah. You know, it's one of my more favorite Italian wines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, so there's all these like classifications and how they do wine in Italy. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of brought about just to ensure like quality.
Like if it's going to be labeled from this region, it needs to meet its standards.
So this label across the top, this is an Italian thing. And
this is
generated by the government. Like isn't made by like the winemaker.
It had the little.
Do we have a similar thing here?
We don't.
No. Mm-hmm. We have the AVA, American Viticulture Area, which really is pretty.
Pales in comparison.
Yeah.
It basically just means 75% of the wine has to be from that region to get that label. But they have, for every different DOC, DOC is the lesser version of DOCG. For every DOC or DOCG, it's different standards for different regions. Like some of them are like, you have to age it this long. Some of them, you can only produce this many liters of juice per this many grapes. Some are, you have to plant at certain densities. Some, they have to have a certain alcohol level, I think. It has to be like minimum 12.5 ABV on Brunello di Montalcino. So different regions have very strict standards. And then a DOCG, you were about to explain with the label.
A DOCG is just basically the highest quality. Mm-hmm. So like there's three. There's DO, there's DOC, and there's DOCG. Mm-hmm. DO being like, it means like destination of origin. Like it means it's guaranteed.
There's also
from that
IGT,
place.
Which is a whole other
thing. Oh yeah, it's also IGT. There's so many, you guys.
Italy's confusing.
Italy is just
wine nerds.
Yeah, it's full of like wine nerds with acronyms.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just Italian acronyms. Get into it. So DOC is like controlled destination of origin. So it means it's slightly more controlled. Yeah, I'm actually doing the
controllata.
English version.
Right.
Yeah. And then DOCG means that it's guaranteed destination of origin.
Okay.
So guaranteed meaning that
the G is garantita in Italian.
So it's like if
there's like a
you, if
group
it were
of people
like
that
10
taste
years
it.
Ago and you were doing ecstasy,
yeah.
You would know that like it was pure.
No, it's more like if there was like a governing body.
I see.
But the US government paid to test the ecstasy to ensure that it's pure
and they were like,
MDMA.
This is guaranteed.
Yeah, this is pure MDMA. MDMA, and this is not cut with, you know.
I mean, I guess it's a little with the baby battery. Yeah. What's happening with marijuana? Now.
Right. Yeah.
But yes, ecstasy is this wine, Italian wine, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So if you were partying in the late
90s, this is like Molly 90s, in a glass.
If you were hanging with D-Light,
exactly.
And who wasn't?
At the recently reopened Studio 54. At some club party. No.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh my. That's, oh. I got a flood of memories from that time in my life.
I'm bringing it back.
Bringing
people.
It back.
I'm bringing it back.
I went to art school. Okay. I know what it's about.
What's the name of the D-Light? Sorry, now I'm fixed on D-Light. Lady.
Oh.
D-Light.
I never knew names.
She's still around. The redhead.
Zig's going to the.
I know,
Zig's
come
going
on.
For it.
Groove is
He's
in
on a
the
Google.
Oh, yeah. In the
Oh, yeah, sing it, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, stop
we all stop.
I didn't know. I think I always said groove is in the high for really? A really long time.
Lady Miss Claire.
Yes.
Claire. I knew it was a lady. Yeah.
Groove is in the heart. That groove is a great heart. Song.
Dude, iconic.
Yeah.
Much so like this good. Brunello Montalcino.
That's yes. right. It is.
Yeah.
It takes you there.
Takes you there, it does. Yeah.
Now I'm thinking of that movie Threesome, and they use that song like, yeah. "We'll take you there."
Oh yeah,
Threesome Party
because
Monster.
We were just having a '90s flashback.
Yeah, I know.
We qualify gonna, as millennial.
Yeah, we're gonna watch Singles
right
now.
We're just hanging on.
Yeah,
I think I'm out of it. How old? Oh,
technically,
should we not, are we not
no,
allowed to
no.
Talk
where
that?
I'm, okay. I'm just like 1 year minus 2 days older than you.
Okay, so are we hanging on?
That's the most cryptic way anyone has ever talked about their
say
age.
Your birthday without saying my birthday. I don't care.
Okay. Oh, I don't care either.
Okay, yeah. August 29th, 1980.
And I'm August 27th, 1981.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Okay, so but are we hanging on? Is what I want to know.
Technically, we qualify as millennials, but barely.
Yeah, yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
80, I guess, is the technical cutoff. Yeah. And it drives my niece crazy.
Oh, no. Yeah. How old is she?
My step-niece, I guess you're saying. Mm-hmm. But she's 20.
Oh, and she's like, there's no way.
Yeah, she's like, you are not a millennial.
There's a couple millennials I hang out with from time to time. I'm just like, whoa.
It is a different world.
Yeah. It's a different world. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
But we can still claim it.
That's right.
We can still claim it.
No we one's can claim that and Shira.
Yeah, exactly. So. No one's going to stop me from claiming it. Claimer's going to claim it. Claimer's got to claim.
You're welcome.
Thank you. do we talk about the grape?
The grape, Sangiovese.
So close to, what? Did you say Chianti?
Chianti, yeah. It's okay. in Tuscany. Chianti's another DOC in that region, yeah. Mm-hmm. Chianti Classico.
Chianti Classico.
Even smaller area within. What else is there that they have there? They have Vino Nobile di Montepulciano is another Tuscan DOCG. I believe it's a DOCG. It might just be a DOC. No, I think it's a DOCG.
DOC?
I think it's a DOCG.
I'm going to go with you on that. I don't know. Basically, Tuscany, there's a lot of wine being made in Tuscany.
Great.
And it's a lot of it made with the grape called Sangiovese.
And there's a lot of not great Sangiovese. Like, there's a lot of not great. Like, Chianti got a pretty bad rap for a while.
Yeah, they're trying to bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting higher standards. I think Chianti's just a DOC and Chianti Classico, which has to be from, like, the specific classic region on the top of a hill or somewhere on a hill. It's usually better if it's in a hill in Italy, is what I've deduced.
It's better on a hill, guys.
All my wine studies.
Because of sun or just reputation?
Actually, yes. Sun and altitude moderates temperature.
Temperature, oh, okay. Yeah. And drainage.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So mid-slope tends to be, like, best place for a lot of places.
Southwest facing, I guess? What is it, southwest?
Southern facing is, like, best, I think.
The best, yeah.
In the northern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, it's northern facing.
Yeah.
But there are no hills in Australia. Or no, I never hear
no hills in Australia?
No, there. I just was saying, I don't ever hear people talking about altitude.
Oh, we have a fact checker here. Someone's going to call us out on our facts. Listen, okay.
There's a lot of valley.
Not one
there's
hill.
A lot of valley wine. Actually, no, I lied. There's a lot of valley wine being made in Australia.
Like, oh my God, there's so many.
Oh my God.
What I'm saying is when it's really hot, altitude's important because it gives you better, cooler temperatures.
That makes sense.
For real, like circus liquors.
Or where if it's too cold, it faces the sun at a better angle so it gets hotter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think the Chianti devastation?
The great Chianti fest.
Ooh, the great Chianti
really?
Devastation.
You guys, what happened to Silence of the Lambs?
That's what
came
I was
out?
Say.
Oh,
That's 100% what I was going to say.
Wow, you guys are in tune.
Yeah. No, I mean, people thought of it as something that
that's
cannibals
what I think
eat.
Of it.
No, I did too for a long time.
Okay. But is it delicious?
Sangiovese?
It can be great.
Yeah. It's great. Well, like Sangiovese a red sauce, it's like the best thing.
Okay.
You have a red sauce and a Sangiovese?
A good Chianti. Mm. A good Chianti can be delicious.
Yeah.
It's the same grape species as this. It's slightly different variety of it. We'll talk about that more later.
Yeah, we can talk about it right now. So, okay. Like, grapes have, like, clones, uh-huh. But, like, genetically they can be the same. But then there's different clones of that exact grape. And
that Ellen, have different qualities.
Yeah, different qualities. Ellen had the best way to describe it, I think. It's
thank
like,
you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like your brother or your sister is obviously your brother and sister, but they have like a different eye color.
Okay.
So you have like the same genetic makeup, but...
Mm-hmm. Except with wine, they can take your brother and cut his arm off and grow another brother. Mm.
Soon.
No, this is...
Soon.
That's what happens.
You too can have a brother of your arm.
Yeah.
No, what happens with wines is there's a type of grape and it's genetically that grape. And sometimes they'll notice, oh, this particular bush happens to, in this region, it helps that it ripens earlier, mm-hmm. and that's a slightly different clone. And so to recreate the exact same wine, you have to, you can't take the seed from the grape. You have to cut off, you have to do a, not a grafting, a cutting.
Cutting, clipping.
You have to do clipping. A cutting of that bush and plant that, and then mm-hmm. you can get, I'm simplifying this way too much, but then that's the only way to get that exact. So that's how different clones are developed, because sometimes people will be like, oh, there happens to be this is growing better for this region or something. So mm-hmm. yeah, so Brunello di Montalcino is a slightly different clone from Chianti, mm-hmm. but it is the same genetically, the same grape.
But it's both, yeah, they're both genetically Sangiovese, but they're a slightly different clone. Mm-hmm. So yeah. like for me, the best, like when I think about it, I think about like Vermentino, mm-hmm. like these are white wine varietals, mm-hmm. Vermentino and Pagato. It's genetically the same thing, but Pagato, like when it starts to ripen, gets a little like speckledness because mm-hmm. Pagato means like pigeon egg. So like that's a weird characteristic that happens with this clone, but genetically it's the same grape. And then taste wise, you get a little more salinity from Pagato than you would from like Vermentino. And it's weird that it has this different expression while it's ripening. It gets a speckled thing. So, but it's the same exact genetic grape, hence the clones. Mm-hmm. So this is a clone.
I feel like it's maybe slightly, it's a pretty thin-skinned grape still, but it's like Sangiovese? Slightly, yeah, but I feel like Brunellos tend to be a little more tannic, a little fuller.
I think this clone is a little more full, yeah.
Yeah, a little more full in general. And so they thought it was a different grape entirely for a long time.
The thickness of the skin is mm-hmm. what
in red wines it
creates the flavor. Or like the fullness?
It's part of it, yeah. Yeah.
It imparts a lot of color and a lot of tannin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the skin of the grape.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like the seed or the stem too, but mostly the skin is where you get the color from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has more bitter flavors.
It adds the tannin element to it. Yeah.
Yeah, body can also seem fuller if like some grapes they let reach like fuller sugar ripeness. So there's more sugar, so more alcohol is created. And that also can make a wine feel like a heavier thing.
A heavier thing.
This wine's getting heavy.
This wine tastes like a heavy thing.
We're
on an Italian kick of heavy Italian wines here. Our last episode, we had a Lambrusco, which was pretty full too. So it's you guys are getting the Italian treatment here on the wine situation.
Yeah, a lot of Italians. Mm. Italians are hanging out.
Do you enjoy the Italian food?
I do, but I'm also
but you have to dress up.
Free
that's right.
Vegan. I know.
It's like your nightmare.
Well, I mean, they have some great artichoke salads.
This is true. And sauce. I love a good sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I can eat a bowl full of sauce.
Exactly.
Sauce bowl.
Although as a vegetarian or, as a vegan, you have to be careful that they didn't use like stock.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's a toughie.
Gluten-free pizza.
Yeah.
The person who did baby cakes, she has a really great cookbook called Bread and Butter that has this vegan, and I'm not gluten-free or vegan, but this vegan gluten-free pizza that I made. It's like,
it was really good.
So good.
Oh, I'll check it out. I actually had one today. It was really good.
Where from?
Whole Foods, of all places.
All right.
I know.
I feel like we always like devolve into talking about food on this podcast.
I know. Well, what I was going to ask
in a great way. Yeah.
So I'm going to France next week.
Ooh, France.
What?
I know. And then,
where in France?
And then Berlin. So I'm going to Paris and Berlin.
Oh, great. Lucky.
So what should I drink?
Oh.
Anything.
Anything.
All of
anything,
it?
Yeah. It'll all be great.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
in France,
really.
Yeah.
You really can't go wrong.
Easy.
Lyon is close by. Champagne is somewhere close by to Paris.
Yeah.
Loire is not too far.
Are you gonna stay? Are you staying in Paris, the city mostly?
Yeah. I've been to the south before. I love.
But just like, I mean, it's gonna be so cheap and so great. Yeah. All of it. Yeah.
Like the good stuff won't cost what it would cost here. Yeah. Because it won't have changed hands like five times.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Oh, no. I'm so like, you need to send us pictures of all your bottles.
Okay.
No, seriously. I'm like, I want to see what you're drinking.
And also, Berlin, just like, don't be afraid of Riesling.
Oh, no.
Oh.
You
don't
have to drink a lot of Riesling there.
Okay. Oh,
so good. Look for so Riesling. Good. If you like a lighter one, look for one from like Baden. Or look if it says, if you like a drier wine, look for one that says Trocken.
Trocken, yeah.
Okay, because that's why I usually stick, because I don't tend towards sweet.
Yeah, say Trocken.
Okay. But they have some beautiful sweet. The thing with Riesling is the acid's really high, which cuts through all the sugar, so it can be a little sweet, but it's still like refreshing. Mm. But if you want dry, look for Trocken or Halbtrocken.
Okay. All right, but I'll try sweet. Yeah. I'll try it all. Why not?
Try it all.
Are you going for work? Or for
no. I know. It's been a while.
I'm really excited. That's so good.
I need to go back to Europe. Mm-hmm. I haven't been in a minute.
Sean, let's take the podcast to Europe.
You guys are taking the podcast to Europe.
We're taking the podcast to Europe.
Come on, guys.
Oh, we're going with Carla to Europe.
Yeah.
We'll be your wine advisor.
I need that.
If any winery in Italy or France or Germany wants to sponsor us to come out there and do that.
Mm-hmm. If they just want to send us some wine, that's cool too.
Right.
Or just listen.
Or just listen to us. No, I'm so excited for you. Like, you're going to have so much fun.
Yeah, you're going to have a great time.
I'm
so excited. Jealous. Wait, next week you're going?
Yes.
How long are you staying for?
12 days total.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I know. I'm excited.
Take advantage of the summer hiatus.
Yes, exactly. I'm just excited to wake up and have nobody telling me what to do.
Or what to
wear. To go back to
I mean, the French people can...
Do I have a problem with authority? Yeah. Is that really what this
is
about?
Yeah, you're just reacting.
Well, I know.
I think a lot of times as an actor, you just spend so much time. People are like, do this, do that, do this. And they're like pulling your hair.
You
and you're like, you have to be there.
And it's really hard. This is the first time in 4.5 years of being on Bold. So the first week of July, we're not off the full week. We're off for like July 4th weekend. Mm. And then we are back for 2 days. And then we're off for the rest of the month. And so this is the first time that I've taken days off. And it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
Because as an artist and as an actor, it's like
when work comes, you want to be there for it.
And also because we love it. You know, I love what I do and it's hard to turn off. But in order to do it, you got to fill the well.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a really big deal.
Oh, there's so much.
It's so
things,
true.
So many things to fill your well. And are you looking forward to, are you an art person? Are you looking forward to the Louvre and stuff?
I mean, I can spend hours in the museum. And again,
go to Musée Picasso.
It was my favorite.
Oh,
I know. And the last time I was there, I was with someone who didn't like museums.
Well, he was sitting at the end.
I know. Looking at his watch.
Oh, God, no, that sucks. Like,
yeah, so
don't
this
go to
is going to be a very exciting trip.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit about being on a soap and like what is that like?
And your character's groundbreaking, which got us thinking about like dress codes for different people. But I was curious to hear.
Yeah, like what's your character on the show?
So her name is Maya Yvonne Forrester. Mm-hmm. And she is a model. She's married to Rick Forrester, who's this. The Forresters are sort of the big family, and the industry on the show is fashion. You know, it's like General Hospital.
Your wedding was kind of like a groundbreaking event.
Yeah. So, 2 years into Maya being on the show and developing this romance with Rick, which of course was not a straight line because it's soap.
You died a few times.
Right, exactly. We discover that she's trans and that she transitioned from M to F, so male to female, you know, in body.
Was that intimidating? Because you're cisgendered female.
Mm-hmm, I am. It was. Not because I was afraid to play the role. Well,
it's hard as an actor, I imagine, to.
Well, that wasn't jump it. Into. I just really wanted to do the best job.
Right.
Yeah, that's like sensitivity. Yeah.
And also, as an African American performer, I know how important it is for that we tell our own stories. Mm-hmm. And so it also felt like, should I be telling this story?
Oh.
Why am I, you know, in this body being asked to tell this story? Mm. And so I was really conflicted, but I also kind of embraced that, did as much research as I could. You know, I'm just so grateful to be an ally. Yeah. And I have learned and grown so much from playing this role. Like, I really can't tell you how much it's changed me.
Right.
Do you have fans sometime who come up and like
it's so great to see me represented, you know?
Yeah, and that means a lot. And I think that the gift of the way that this story was told, you know, soaps
often meet conservative audiences, and older audiences, and, you know, audiences that might not understand what, I mean, a lot of it was people just going, I don't know what this is. I don't understand what the, you know, because people had grown to love Maya over the 2 years that she was on the show. If they suddenly had, you know, feelings about her or, you know, hatred toward her, they had to look at why.
And so
it's like in life, you know, when we have to face ourselves and face our prejudices and, you know, even myself in educating myself had to face certain stereotypes that I or beliefs that I had.
Of course,
And so I think it's a really important story and I'm proud of the way we told it. And she's now married to her partner.
The first trans wedding?
On network TV. And she was the first trans series character, the series regular on network TV.
Wow.
So, you know, my hope is that now it will open the door for people to be able to tell their own stories.
Yeah.
You know? And do you feel like they did it in a way that was respectful?
100%.
It wasn't like sensationalizing.
I would have signed on to do it.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Because I would imagine you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, are you just going to like make this
is
like a clown?
Is it a joke?
And
they took it incredibly seriously.
Wow.
Right.
And we worked very closely with GLAAD. And, you know, and I made sure Janet Mock, who I love, is a trans activist and journalist and just amazing human being. And I really wanted to go on her show, one, because her book changed my life, reading her memoir.
Yeah.
And she actually just came out with another one. But also because I knew she would ask hard questions.
Yeah.
And it's like I wanted the community to know that we are serious and that we're willing to, like, put our feet to the fire.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. That's so great. I want to support you in that and just letting you know.
Thanks.
Support coming from this side of the table.
Appreciate
very cool thing.
Well, let's talk about some wine. We'll do some questions. Have you have you listened to the podcast? You just gave me.
I haven't. I just learned about it last
week.
Yeah,
I just told you like
we are brand new.
I just hit you up and I was so shocked that you were like, okay.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, amazing.
Yes.
So at the end of every episode, we do a lightning round where we ask you some wine trivia. Don't worry, we've been making increasingly.
We've been doing.
Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's very easy. So.
I'm setting my bar really low. I expect to get zero. So here we go. If I get one, it's a win. Let's go.
Fantastic. Fabulous.
Okay. So the answer to this question has been told.
Which question?
The first one. But it hasn't been told in this context. Just know that it's out there.
Okay.
What year did Brunello di Montalcino become a DOCG?
Oh.
What year?
We wouldn't know this. If we hadn't been researching.
Yeah, if we hadn't researched, we wouldn't.
But it's been told today.
We talked about
it. We mentioned that year.
I didn't know there was a quiz.
There's a quiz.
Two of us have this year in common.
In 1980?
Yes!
Wow.
You got it!
You got it!
I'll take it.
100 points.
100 points.
100 points.
Yes.
Okay, because I remember birthdays. Go on.
Sometimes the answers to the questions are in the podcast,
that's
guys.
Right.
You know?
Like little hidden clues.
Like hidden clues.
like geocaches.
What I have that I was going to ask
next. Oh, were you going to ask?
I was going to ask this
one. Oh.
This actually, I would have known, like a lot of our questions the last two episodes, I'm like, oh, we had to look that up, but we are trying to get a little more challenging in our questions. So what clone, we talked about clones, what clone of the Sangiovese grape, take a splash more, thank you.
What more wine.
That's good.
Carla, are you okay?
No.
She's great.
What? I'm
Carla's in her PJs over there, you guys.
I'm naked.
Yeah, she's naked. She's wearing a sock.
Well, she felt like she needed to match the togas, the revealing togas that Sean and I are lounging on our elbows in right now. We have Zig, our sound guy, with the grapes nearby.
Yes.
He's the grapes. Like, oh,
yeah.
He's nodding.
What's the name of the clone of the Sangiovese grape? So originally, they thought Brunello was a different grape.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then they finally figured out it is a clone of the Sangiovese grape. What did they name that clone? They should have just named it Brunello, but they didn't.
Brunella.
No. They should have. They should have named it Madame Brunella. No.
Go on.
But I like your answer.
Brunella.
That's what I'm calling this from now on. No, Sangiovese Grosso.
Ah.
Grosso.
Grosso.
Yes, so they thought this was a different grape.
It was a slightly fatter grape, and they named it Grosso.
Oh, like, but not Gordo. Is it, what's, is Grosso bigger?
I just totally made that up.
I don't know, but that's interesting.
I don't know Italian.
Gordo is in Spanish.
But yeah, fat, so I'm wondering.
I feel like Grosso is like bigger.
Yeah, bigger. Yeah.
Okay.
They named it.
They're literal.
Yeah, very literal. I'm going to go right into the next question. Just for fun.
Because we're batting 100.
So, when we're...
No, you batted 110 on the first question.
I did.
So remember we were talking about DOC, DOCG, stuff like that, like the ecstasy, in case you forgot. Yeah. So it's a government agency that regulates wine and how it's produced in different regions.
Yes.
So if you break these rules or laws, you can actually go to jail for this as a winemaker, being an imposter.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So what is the maximum jail sentence you could be sentenced to for breaking a DOC or DOCG
rule? Like I said, we've been
50 years.
You're like death.
Death for wine.
She was so sincere. 50 years.
I mean, they take things seriously
in Italy.
Their wine especially.
Okay, 3.
6 and you're never allowed to drink again. No, just this part. But it that would be worse than death.
Yeah. It would be. Oh my gosh.
6 years.
Wow.
They'll throw you in jail for six years if you don't follow their standards and label it as such. Crazy,
but
right?
But you know what? If you make a lot of money, it might be worth it to you. Mm. Well, if you're a hustler.
That's true.
It depends on it. Are you fined as well?
So the thing
is. I'm sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then it's you're a disgraced. Huge deal.
And well, then your family, you can never make wine again. And
yeah.
My family.
And it's like you might as well, rather than calling it a Brunello and getting 6 years, there is sort of a declassified Brunello di Montalcino. Not declassified, just a lower class. Yeah. Like, not, it's not tested by the Garantita staff that puts their stamp on, like they did this bottle. There's a version of this wine from the same grape made very similar ways that has a name. We are curious if you could guess what it was.
Oh, that was a question.
Yes, it was a question. Eventually, it was a question.
Eventually, I got to a question.
Go again.
What's the pedestrian version of a Brunello di Montalcino?
Okay.
What's the affordable, there's another name for wine from the same region.
From the same grape.
That's not called, same grape.
It's not called Brunello di Montalcino.
It's called,
di Montalcino.
Peter di Montalcino.
Close. Right. No, seriously, like it's Rosso di Montalcino.
Oh, okay. Like the Rossi posse.
Yes, like the Rossi posse.
Got
precisely.
It.
Rossi posse.
Yes.
Exactly like that and ecstasy.
Yes.
Or Peter di Montalcino.
Peter di Montalcino.
Or Stuart.
Exactly.
Stuart di Montalcino. Oh, I love Stuart di Montalcino.
The American
lady.
So
lady,
basic.
Lady, what's her face from Delight of Montalcino?
That's right.
That's my version. Yeah.
Well, those are my questions.
Well, are we done?
Those were the quiz questions.
Those are my quiz questions. Quiz questions.
We have one sort of real talk question at the end of every, which is you cannot get this wrong because we don't know the answer.
We don't know the answer. Do you want to ask it this time? I feel like I've asked it every time.
Well, it was you who thought we should do this.
It's episode 10 now, so that we are deep in the river.
Okay. I mean, this podcast is, we ask you to come in with a wine. What's annoying? We worried it was going to get a little negative, but we want to know what brings you joy right now.
Mm. Just some joy.
My niece.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, she.
How old is she?
She will be 5 on September 1st. She's another Virgo.
Excellent.
But she was born with hypoplastic left heart syndrome, which means the left side of her heart didn't develop. And a month ago, Monday, this past Monday, she got a heart transplant. And she is the most incredible little girl. And every time she takes a picture, she's smiling. And she's just, I adore her. So, yeah, she brings me nothing but joy.
Brother's child? Sister.
My sister.
Aww. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm totally.
I know. I appreciate it.
I have a niece who's 4 too.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I know that. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. She's a teacher.
So glad to hear that happened. Oh my God. Yeah. Let's bring some joy for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell people before we cut off about your upcoming web series?
Oh sure.
No, I'm just
segue.
No,
I'm like,
so anyway,
I'm like,
speaking of hearts,
not that I have a hard time getting emotionally.
Babies getting hearts transplanted into their bodies.
Things were like winding down. I didn't want to just be like, let's say
cares?
Goodbye.
What's the point of anything?
Exactly. Who gives a shit?
Well, I'll tell you, Lily loves TV. She's in a hospital bed and all she does is watch like Blaze, the monster trucks.
You guys, I didn't know how to watch.
I'm like, no, Ellen, I'm not giving you a hard time.
Of course we have to give you shit, but it's only because you're awesome.
No, but you, but like it was coming from a lovely place.
No,
it was
coming from we're trying to wind things up so you can go see Snoop Dogg.
No, it's great. And honestly, like when I tell you she brings me joy, she does.
It's
a crazy thing to hear, but she is
absolutely
an unbelievable like sunshine on the planet.
It's
you know.
Amazing.
And so web series.
I just wanted to give you
as I mentioned earlier, I started a production company called 1-to-1 Productions with my dear friend Tina Huang. And she was on Rizzoli and Isles for a long time. Yeah, but she's amazing. And we champion women of color in front of and behind the camera. And so we teamed up with my friend Lawrence St. Victor in his production company. We wrote together. We've both been on soaps together for years. And we wrote a series years ago called Wedlocked. And we just did like 5 episodes because it was kind of before web series were a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we were like, let's put some things on the internet. Yeah. But it keeps coming up. But like people keep asking about it. And we say it's like a black mat about you. It's really fun.
Nice.
And
nice.
Lawrence and I are just silly and sweet. And so we play like a young married couple. And it's about a married couple without kids and what that's like.
And it's out now?
So we just did it. You can see the old episodes, but I warn you, my hair is like circa 1995.
Disclosure, hair is
a thing. But,
Don't look at the hair.
Carla never looks anything but perfect. Even when she's in a toga like she is right now. Especially when she's naked like she is right now.
That's right.
Yeah, and she's wearing a sock.
In my birthday suit.
In her sock.
Yes. We are going to shoot it over my birthday weekend in August, and then it will be coming out like within the next year. So if you go on Seed and Spark, which
I don't know how many
people are like listening who make films and things, but I'm guessing, you know, if they're friends of yours, they might.
Yeah.
But they're a really dope crowdfunding place for films specifically. And I'm like, they're not paying me to say this, but
I've been meaning to go.
Also run by women like super into diversity, but also they just really support you through the process. So like plugging them because I just think they're great.
Yeah.
But we're on, if you go to their page, you can find us there and see a little teaser.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing it. You're so lovely. It was so great to meet you.
Oh my gosh, you're amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
So great.
I'm sorry I didn't know more, but
I provide
metaphors and entertainment.
That's all we ask out of our guests is metaphors and entertainment.
Entertainment, yeah, just like delight
if
references.
If you don't have that, you're out.
Ecstasy.
And ecstasy.
Well, cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Here's to Snoop Dogg.
And here's to your niece.
Lilia.
Salute to Lilia.
Listening.
Thanks for listening.
You can please go and check out the iTunes where you can hit subscribe and you can like hit other little buttons that allow you to leave little reviews of us.
Yeah, you guys can do so much with the click of a button.
It's true. You can go on the Instagrams.
You can literally change our life with the click of one button.
You have the power.
Well, don't let it go to your heads. You know, you don't have
but
that much
do,
power.
But you do, yeah, but I mean, a good amount of power.
I feel like we're being the angel and the devil on the shoulder right now. That's what I feel like.
Either empowering or turning them into monsters.
But you guys find the mid-road. You find the middle line.
Yeah, do what you feel is right, which should be going to Facebook and hitting the like on the Wine Situation page. Or Twitter. Instagram. All of them.
Thanks to all of our supporters, all of our friends who taught us along the way.
Oh, yes. The whole Covell crew.
Covell crew.
Gregory Condas. He's taught me nothing. Gregory,
nothing.
I'm waiting for you.
Yes. He will be on the show soon.
Yes.
And you'll meet him. And all of Ellen's famous teachers. The W set.
The W set. Mr. W set and Mrs. W set and their nephew who was familied into the. Anyway, grandfathered into.
You brought up the bastard nephew.
Yeah, he knows a lot about wine, though.
I bet he does. And our song people.
Yes, song people, Dr. America Comedy. And also, thanks to UCB for having this lovely little space that we come into.
Thank you, UCB, for with everything.
Yeah.
For everything,
true.
Really.
Kind of.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Speaking of UCB, up next we have Charlie Sanders and his lovely wife, Camille Knox.
Yep.
Sanders.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're waiting to see if she took his name or not, but we think it's Charlie. It's Camille Knox and lovely husband, Charlie Sanders.
Yeah, that way too.
Either way.
So we're super excited to have them and just really excited about summer, you know, and
yeah,
about...
Yeah, like rosé all day.
Rosé all
for
day.
When we're drinking white, which we're doing a lot of.
Maybe do a chilled red, guys. Throw a Gamay in the fridge.
Get a nice Cab Franc. Yeah.
Like a Chinon, a cold Chinon.
Some Cru Beaujolais. Mm. That would be Gamay too, I guess.
Yeah, but it'd be fancy.
But it would Gamay. Be fancy. Get some fancy cold Gamay.
Some fancy cold Gamay.
That's a rap song waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. America, you have your next song. You're welcome.
All right, guys, thank you so much. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
I just drink wine. I don't fuck with IPA. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with Minute Maid. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with coffee, mate. I just drink wine. Give me red, white, or rosé. Don't test me, motherfucker. I'm a sommelier.